the class, dignity, and intellect of the Obamas will never be up for debate. Despite the haters, our forever first family are and will always be an international treasure. Michelle LaVon Robinson Obama famously told us, "When they go low, we go high." The quote is embedded in my brain. After our forever first lady profoundly said it at the 2016 Democratic National Convention, I saw the quote on t-shirts, mugs, baseball caps, and dozens of memes. You did too. We all did. And even if we didn't agree with the message then or now, it resonates. Because the truth is, if you live long enough, you're guaranteed to face the ignorance of someone who makes you want to leave your comfort zone, stoop to their level, and get them all the way together. No, really, all the way together. The Obama family, former President Barack Obama, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, Mrs. Marion Robinson, may she continue to rest peacefully, and heck, even their dog, Bo, faced an indescribable level of scrutiny, jealousy, and evilness since Barack announced he was running for the President of the United States seat on February 10th, 2007, at the old state capitol in Springfield, Illinois. Everything from Michelle not wearing hosiery and opting for sleeveless dresses to the color selections of Barack's attire. Remember the random drama over the tan suit? Were unjustly under attack nonstop. Now here's the thing. Regardless of what your political beliefs are, the ways that this family has been picked apart are nothing short of disgusting. We realize that not all black folks are Obama fans, nor are we all Democrats. However, recognizing their unfair treatment, treatment that is intentionally meant to hurt, tear down, and destroy a human spirit and soul, treatment that no other president and first family have had to endure in the history of the United States of America, is way beyond party lines. It's about not having a sense of decency and a moral compass. Treating people the way the Obamas have been and still are being treated is excusable by some and even embraced by others, because many people simply do not value black love, black family, and black life, period. So their very existence, the fact that they are breathing, blinking, and living their lives angers some people. It just does not fit into the curriculum they have been taught about black people. The fact that the Obamas appear to love each other, both Barack and Michelle, but also their entire family. The fact that they have not shied away from admitting that they don't always like each other. Basically, they are a real couple experiencing the ebbs and flows of life. The fact that despite having access to the best nannies, tutors, and au pairs that money can buy, Michelle wanted her mama in the White House with her to help raise Malia and Sasha. Michelle knew there was priceless wisdom Mrs. Robinson could instill in her babies that she nor her husband could. The fact that Michelle, with two Ivy League degrees and an impressive law career, had people jumping double dutch on the White House lawn, all of this and so much more, it did and still does get some panties in a bunch. When a certain person who I refuse to name posted a video online yesterday, including a depiction of Mr. and Mrs. Obama as apes, the White House released the below statement. Please stop the fake outrage and report on something today that actually matters to the American public. In other words, the Obamas don't matter. Get over it. Duly noted, Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary, who released said statement after a barrage of public and bipartisan outcry about the cruelty of the video. Turns out all lives don't matter, huh? Well, you look at that. An official later told CNN a White House staffer erroneously made the post. It has been taken down. By that time, the video had been up for nearly 12 hours. Sometimes when they go low, we want to take off our earrings and grab some Vaseline. If you know, you know. Today, however, the collective response across social media platforms and in real life to that deplorable video was basically this clown. Let's post the images of the Obamas that we love and watch becoming on Netflix for the 28th time. Because although it was embarrassingly low, even for him, we would all much rather spend our time celebrating the legacy of the Obamas and the class, dignity, and intellect that they joyfully brought to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, it is Black History Month. Save the clown acts for the circus. Oh, we're going to call out the BS, and it is going in, save for sure. But we would much prefer to drown out that tired ignorance with our unapologetic joy in spite of all of this. Apparently, our joy really seems to ruffle some feathers. as well as the celebration of our brilliance, creativity, ingenuity, and invaluable contributions to America and the entire world. Also, apes? Really? Isn't that trope more than a century old now? Are racists running out of material? Good grief. So I invite you to continue amplifying the work of the abundance of our globally celebrated creatives, business leaders, athletes, and other household names, but also your great grandmama, homegirls, homeboys, and cousins who have done extraordinary things with limited resources, support, and acknowledgement. One of the best ways to go high when others go low is to do the very things that made them mad in the first place. Continue to lift each other up. There's no debating necessary for us. Legacy, true legacy, will always drown out the noise of hate, jealousy, and ignorance. It will always outlive it, too. An article was by Bridget Bartlett Royal. Exclusive. NBC News anchor Morgan Radford is expecting baby number 2. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. The Emmy-nominated journalist is expecting her second child and releasing her debut novel this May. She said motherhood didn't shrink her world, it made it bigger. People know Morgan Radford as the co-anchor for NBC News Daily and former face on Al Jazeera America and ABC News. But the seasoned journalist has acquired a few more titles as of late, author and mother of 2. A North Carolina native, Radford is currently in a season of expansion. Her family of 3 is becoming a family of 4 as she and her husband, David Williams, are expecting their second child in May of this year. For many women with thriving careers, having kids can feel like both a blessing and a setback. For the Emmy-nominated co-anchor, it is an opportunity. I feel so much more productive, so much more creative, she tells Essence. I feel like the wind is just at my back, Radford says. She recalls once being afraid of telling her boss she was pregnant, worrying it would be seen as a reduction in professional capacity. However, the Harvard grad says the opposite turned out to be true, referring to motherhood as the most expansive thing I've ever done. It connected me more to the world. It made me more productive. I wrote a book. I've never had this many stories submitted for Emmys. My show has had the highest ratings it's ever had. More viewers. So in many ways, I feel like motherhood is a part of my success story, she explains. The TV personality gave birth to her first child, Adelana Marcia Radford Williams, on February 2nd, 2023, and says becoming a mom is the most healing thing she's done. Baby number 2 was unplanned, but a pleasant surprise nonetheless. The jump from 1 to 2 children can be precipitous, though. After all, each child has different needs, and a larger household often demands greater capacity, especially from moms. But Radford is excited about the ways baby number 2 will bring more abundance into her life. This is an accumulation of experience, she says. It's an accumulation of wisdom. It's an expansion of expression. When I think about having baby number 2, I just think of more life, more love, more family, more creativity. But it's also more lessons, right? Our kids teach us things, and I cannot wait to see what this second little blessing teaches me. Raising bilingual kids is a priority for the growing family, whose daughter currently attends a French school. In their household, which is nothing short of a cultural melting pot, they exclusively speak Spanish. Radford's paternal side of the family has roots in Jamaica and Cuba, while Williams has Nigerian heritage. And yes, Adelana is also learning the Nigerian language of Yoruba, thanks to her grandparents. I want her to be a culture carrier, Radford explains. I want her to understand language and culture, respect for elders, our history, and our sacrifices for freedom. That's really important to me, to pass down our cultures and protect them and help them survive through the generations. That desire inspired her first book. In the midst of growing another human, she was burning the midnight oil writing her novel, Now Then, which will be published by HarperCollins in May 2026. The Spanish language release of the book will come a few months later in August. The novel follows Liana Soto Walker, a Harvard student who uncovers her mother's secret past, fleeing the Cuban Revolution while on a journey to self-discovery. Loosely based on Radford's life, Now Then interweaves historical events, the importance of family heritage, and how culture shapes our past and present. The journalist describes the process of writing her novel as a gift and one of the most exciting things she's done. She drew from the elements of her family's history to put pen to paper, and the book's crafting sparked conversations around identity, race, and blackness. Timely, considering these are conversations we're in the thick of as a nation. Everyday Americans are now having discussions about our relationship as a country internationally, she says. And so this conversation and writing this at this time was such a beautiful way for me to be able to interact with the world and give shape to some of what's happening. Not only is the book an ode to immigrants and the stories they hold, but it's also an heirloom of sorts for her children. At the 11th hour, Morgan asked her editors to add a letter to her daughter to the manuscript. I think that letter is really a conversation to my daughter about why I wrote this book, what I hope the legacy of this book is to her and to the world at large, she says. I hope she looks at it as soon as she's old enough to read and understand the concept of romantic love. Tenacity, determination, and partnership all have contributed to Radford's success in this season. She says Williams, who she married in Cartagena, Colombia, back in 2022, supports her dreams, even if it means waking up at midnight to discuss the Cuban Revolution. The almost mom of two adds, as we enter into the season of love, that all of her accomplishments, she is most proud of how they treat one another. We treat each other really well. He treats me really well. He sees me. He understands me. He listens, she says. He's always engaged and present, and he believes in my dreams, and he helps me strategize with my dreams. Radford adds, our partnership has really launched me. It gives me a safe space to come home to so that I can also fly and be free in the world, but also retreat to a safe space. And Now Then is available for pre-order at morganradford.com. Bump Buzz, All the Black Celebrity Women Pregnant in 2026. This is by Victoria Umarogi. From big screen stars to football wives, another year, another growing list of growing bumps. See who's expecting. Babies are on the way, and some are already here. Every year, one of our favorite roundups to do is the list of well-known women who are expecting. The list always starts small and blossoms to more than 30 to 40 ladies by the end of the year. To kickstart the list, we've gathered up big screen stars, football wives, the partners of hip-hop stars, and more. The latest mama-to-be is Jasmine Lawrence. The eldest daughter of comedy legend Martin Lawrence is expecting her first child with her husband Eric, the son of Eddie Murphy. The couple, who tied the knot in May of 2025, shared the big news via Instagram. Take a look at the list of who's who women set to give birth and those who already did. So Jasmine says, thank you, Jesus, for the greatest gift. Morgan Radford, NBC News article and mother of one, is set to become a mama of two. She shared exclusively with Essence that she and husband David Williams are looking forward to become a family of four. When I think about having baby number two, I just think of more life, more love, more family, more creativity, she said. But it's also more lessons, right? Our kids teach us things, and I cannot wait to see what the second little blessing teaches me. Sydney McLaughlin-Lerone, Olympic champion Sydney McLaughlin-Lerone, known for her domination in the 400-meter hurdles and most recently the 400 flat, is expecting her first child with husband Andre Lerone Jr. The track star and former NFL player have been married since 2022. They shared the great news on Instagram back in January with Sydney noting, made a human with my favorite human. Virginia Williams, rapper Pusha T, one half of the duo Clips, announced via Instagram in November that wife Virginia is expecting their second child. The little one will be welcomed by big brother Nigel. The Grammy-nominated MC lauded his wife, saying, Nigel, you ask and you shall receive. But this time it was mommy who made it happen. She prayed day and night, struggled with disappointments, but she never gave up on your wishes. You're going to owe her big time. The couple have been married since 2018. In January, they held their baby shower at an event touted as the Masterpiece Brunch, an art-inspired celebration. Williams is a ceramicist. Sophia Richie. It's about to be back-to-back babies for the model, influencer, and designer. Daughter of Lionel Richie is expecting her second child with husband and Atlantic Records CEO Elliot LaGrange. She shared the good news on Instagram in October 2025. The couple, who wed in 2023, are already parents to daughter Eloise, born in May 2024. While sharing photos of their very hip baby shower in January, which gave pajama party meets jazz club realness, she shared they're having a boy. Wonmi Mosaku, the Beauty and Sinner star, is expecting her second child, sharing the good news on the red carpet of the Golden Globes back in January. She's reportedly married to talent agent Tash Mosley, and the two share a daughter. Charmaine Bay, the influencer and former Black Ink Crew Chicago star, whose relationship with husband Nick Bay first came to be on the show, announced in January that she is pregnant with their third child. This news is significant considering her struggle with primary ovarian insufficiency, and doctors telling her she should seek out donor eggs if she wanted to have another child. The couple share daughters Nola and Charlie. Renika Stone Love, the professional volleyball player and wife of Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love, brought in 2026 by announcing New Year, New Edition on January 1st. The couple have been married since June 2025. Chris Marshall, the Paradise star, let the world know she is pregnant with her second child, a baby boy, while stepping out for the 31st annual Critics' Choice Awards. She's been married to real estate developer Ted Dolan since 2017, and they welcomed their first child in June of 2023. Jaslyn Michelle, the influencer and wife of rapper NBA Youngboy, is gearing up to welcome the couple's third child together. After the news was revealed in October 2025, she shared footage from behind the scenes of their latest maternity shoot on her popular YouTube page in January 2026. They already have daughter Alice and son Clemenza. Haley Black, influencer couple Haley and Mondarius, who have more than 1 million followers on TikTok, welcomed their daughter Leilani and shared the good news in January. The two married in 2023 and had been open with their fertility journey, including experiencing an ectopic pregnancy in 2024 that required emergency surgery. "Nothing could have prepared me for the magnitude of his blessing," Haley shared. "God is so faithful." We were in the room for the Recording Academy honors as Pharrell, Brandy, and Kirk Franklin were honored. This article is by Nathan Lately. The legends delivered heartfelt speeches as loving, star-studded tributes showcased their influence on the next generation of talent. "What's yours can never miss you, even 30 years later." After taking a year off due to the devastating fires in Los Angeles, the Black Music Collective's Recording Academy honors event returned to form for its fourth annual ceremony. In a night full of surprises and stars, rapper and author Eve was awarded a retroactive Grammy for her initially uncredited contributions to the Roots classic You Got Me, which won the Grammy for Best Rap Performance by a Duo or Group in 2000. 26 years later, the Recording Academy has righted the wrong, and Eve beamed with pride and gratitude as she officially became a two-time Grammy winner. Eve's words about life's timing seemed to echo throughout the night as honorees Kirk Franklin, Brandy, and Pharrell Williams received their awards. Black Music Collective co-chair Teray asked Essence, "If we don't celebrate us, who will?" And there was no need for an answer because the celebration was bar none. Black Music Icon Award recipient Kirk Franklin has had an impactful career spanning multiple genres with an emphasis on gospel music. Known for his catchy melodies from Heaven, encouraging lyrics, and soulful samples, there is no doubt that his tribute would start the program strong. Lecrae, John Legend, Brittany Spencer, Daryl Walls, and a show-stopping Tamela Mann performed a medley of hits, everything from He's Able to Lean on Me. After his acceptance speech, Franklin touched the stage with a medley of his own, closing with Stomp and a literal mic drop. And for the big finish of his speech, Franklin delivered a familiar line, the coldest one of the evening, "It ain't over." That sentiment continued to permeate the room as the night progressed. Following Franklin was none other than fellow Black Music Icon Award honoree Brandy, a singer, actress, and overall cultural touchpoint. She was serenaded by some of contemporary R&B's best and brightest Grammy nominees, Coco Jones, the effervescence British girl group Flo, and Kehlani. Then the vocal Bible herself, took to the stage to perform Almost Doesn't Count, which ended in a rousing round of applause from the room that left her tearful. I'm very much alive and I'm still here. By the grace of God, I have unlimited opportunity to get out and be somebody, maybe even an icon, she said in the final moments of her speech. Closing the night was the dedication to multi-hyphenate Pharrell, who received the Dr. Dre Global Icon Award. Attendees enjoyed an incredible, sprawling tribute set from Clips, Leon Thomas, and Justin Timberlake, the latter covering Pharrell's biggest hits like Get Lucky and Happy, before singing his own Pharrell-produced hits, Senorita and Rock Your Body, and garnering the grandest crowd response of the night. Introducing Pharrell was none other than Tyler, the creator, who delivered a humorous speech of admiration and friendship. Outside of the weird bootcut jeans you've been wearing, you always seem to have an answer, he said to the laughing crowd. You have been, you are, and you always will be my North Star. Pharrell returned the love to everyone in the room, telling Tyler that his success is what happens when you're weird and you're standing in it. Telling Justin, you showed your A tonight during his portion of the tribute, and even speaking life into fellow honorees, Franklin and Brandy. About an hour and a half after the night ended, journalist Don Lemon was taken into custody by the FBI in connection with his coverage of protests in Minnesota earlier this month. At one point during the red carpet festivities, Lemon stood directly next to Essence as he interviewed various black stars. He has since been released without bail, but the political implications still sit in the shadows, especially after an event celebrating black music, culture, and history. Ironically, toward the end of Pharrell's acceptance speech awarded to him by Dr. Dre himself and Recording Academy CEO Harvey Mason Jr., he expressed his hope for the leaders of this nation, using his platform to send an important message. I'm praying that they find in their hearts some grace and, most importantly, some mercy, he remarked. We should all be praying for that. And it doesn't matter how you voted, it's how you pray. 8 Everyday Ways to Support Cancer Prevention and Early Detection by Elizabeth Ayula. Cancer has become so pervasive that most people can think of at least one person they know who has had the disease. According to the National Cancer Institute, the number of new cancer cases per year is expected to increase to 33 million by 2015. Additionally, the number of cancer-related deaths may rise to 18.2 million. While there is no single cause for cancer and experts continue to diligently work on a cure, there are everyday actions that may help support prevention and early detection. Paying attention to your body, protecting your peace, and being cognizant of toxins are just a few. No lifestyle change guarantees immunity, but knowledge, consistency, and self-advocacy can be powerful tools. This is especially the case for Black women, who often face disparities in diagnosis, treatment, and outcomes. Black people as a whole have the highest death rate for cancer and are more likely than whites to be diagnosed with female breast, lung, and colorectal cancer at a late stage. Here are practical, science-backed ways to feel more empowered in the ongoing fight to end and prevent cancer. Know you're normal and don't ignore changes. One of the most important tools you have is familiarity of your own body. Knowing what's typical for you could be the difference between early detection and late diagnosis. Be mindful of your energy levels, digestion, menstrual cycle, breast, skin, and pain tolerance, as noticing changes in these areas makes it easier to spot when something feels off. If a symptom lingers, worsens, or simply doesn't sit right, trust that instinct. Black women are often socialized to push through discomfort or downplay symptoms, but early detection saves lives. Keep up with regular screenings and checkups. Preventive care isn't just about reacting. It's also about staying ahead. Annual physicals, mammograms, pap smears, colon cancer screenings, skin checks, and dental visits all play a role in early detection. Ask your primary care provider for a personalized schedule based on your age, risk factor, and family history. Understand your family health history. Knowing your family's history can provide crucial clues about your own cancer risk. Conditions like breast, ovarian, colorectal, and prostate cancer can have hereditary links. If possible, talk to relatives about diagnoses, age of onset, and patterns you've noticed, and share that information with your doctor. You also may want to consider genetic testing, which analyzes your genes, DNA, or chromosomes, for use as a preventive measure that you can take to learn more about your family and history and conditions you're predisposed to. Build a diet that supports long-term health. Think colorful fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, healthy fats, and lean proteins. Fiber-rich foods, antioxidants, and omega-3s all play a role in supporting the body's natural defense systems. Hydration matters too. Small, consistent choices add up over time. Move your body for optimal health. Movement isn't punishment. It solely doesn't have to be about aesthetics. Staying active can aid in circulation, immune support, stress relief, and hormonal balance. Regular physical activity has been linked to a lower risk of several cancers, including breast and colon cancer. Manage stress and protect your mental health. Chronic stress doesn't cause cancer directly, but it can weaken the immune system and disrupt hormones, sleep, and inflammation levels. Black women in particular often carry the weight of racial stress, caretaking strain, and burnout. Don't downplay pain, fatigue, or minor symptoms. Too often, Black women are dismissed or misdiagnosed when they report a pain or persistent symptoms. If something feels wrong, keep advocating. You are not being dramatic or overreacting. You're advocating for yourself and taking responsibility for your health. Ask questions, get second opinions, know your rights, and bring notes. Also, having a friend or trusted family member can help amplify your voice, especially if you're uncomfortable expressing your needs. And limit exposure where you can. While you can't control everything, being mindful of environmental exposures can support long-term wellness. This can include moderating alcohol intake, avoiding tobacco, using sun protection, and being conscious of chemicals in personal care or household products when possible. For instance, you can start swiping out polyester clothing for 100% cotton, since the former contains harmful chemicals. Eat bacon that has no nitrites, and swapping out some alcoholic beverages for mocktails or good old water can also help minimize cancer risk. Yes, limiting exposure requires research and effort on your end, but it's worth it. We can't eliminate every toxin in our lives, but we can increase our awareness. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.